me just move on to our next speaker, Mr. Manu Sebastian. He is a former advocate of the Kerala High Court, and he's an LLB from Symbiosis Law School in Pune. He was actively, he has been active in reporting and analyzing legal developments in India with a focus on the Supreme Court and the High Courts and so on, and constitutional law. His articles have delved into complex legal issues to make court proceeding more accessible. Most importantly, he serves on a very important, I would say, public service institution called Live Law. He's the managing editor of Live Law. And his special interests are IBC and the Constitution. So welcome, Mr. Manu Sebastian. Over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Ranade. And it was great privilege listening to Mr. Ashok Lavasa and Ms. Anjali Bharadwaj from their vast experience on the fields of electoral reforms as well as Right to Information Act. So they have elaborated upon the background of NOTA and the need for giving NOTA more force, more teeth, and more enforceability. So I'm not elaborating upon those points. The main issue which we have to consider is, so NOTA has been around us since 2013. So it's been more than a decade. So has NOTA achieved the purpose which it intended to achieve? So the Supreme Court in 2013, when it mandated that this option of NOTA should be given, there was a purpose behind it. That the purpose was that the voters should be in a position to express their no confidence or dissatisfaction with all the candidates. If all the candidates are unsuitable, then they should not be in a position to choose among the least evil. So they should be able to choose the best candidate. It should not be a compulsion. And the second intention was that this should encourage the political parties to field good candidates, suitable candidates, candidates who do not have any criminal antecedents or any other blemish. But unfortunately, what we can see from the performance of NOTA is that beyond a symbolic measure, it has not created any impact. So a person might think, why should, if a voter feels that all candidates are unsuitable, then a voter might think, why should I go to the booth and press the NOTA? Why can't I just not vote? Why can't I just sit home and boycott the election itself? So that question might arise. So unless NOTA is given some kind of consequence, the voters may not feel encouraged to exercise that option. They might think, okay, why should my exercise go in waste? I would rather cast vote in favor of any of the candidate rather than take the trouble of going to the voting booth and press NOTA. So this is the major question which now the civil society has to think, because I think only the civil society will take this issue forward, because I'm not sure if the political parties may be interested in reforming this aspect, because none of the electoral reforms, it was mentioned here that this directions to publicize the criminal antecedents and asset declarations. All these reforms came through PILs filed by organizations like ADR and PUCL, etc. None of the reforms came from the political parties or the legislators. So I believe that this is an issue which only the civil society can take it forward, and the reforms and the call for reforms will come largely from the civil society segment. So now regarding NOTA, now there are two petitions pending in the Supreme Court seeking directions to give more teeth to NOTA. So there was one petition filed in 2024 during that 2024 Lok Sabha elections. So this petition was filed, I believe, in the wake of, there was one incident in the Surat constituency. There was only one candidate who filed the nomination. So elections, that was cancelled. So no elections were held, and the sole candidate who filed the nomination, that person was declared as the winner without any sort of voting. So in that context, a petition was filed in the Supreme Court saying that in such scenarios, rather than declaring the sole candidate as the winner by default, an election should be held so that the voters will get an opportunity to express if the voters who want to give this NOTA option, they should have an opportunity to express that option. So that petition is pending. So one of the prayers in that petition is that if NOTA is getting the most number of votes, then the election should be cancelled and a re-election should be done. And there is a second prayer, which I found it to be interesting, and it's a debatable topic as well. So all the candidates who were rejected by NOTA votes, they should be disqualified from contesting elections for a certain period, like 5 years or 3 years or whatever. So they will be debarred. So NOTA will act as a debar. NOTA will bar candidates who are rejected by NOTA from further electoral politics. So that is also an interesting suggestion. And there is another petition which was filed recently that is also seeking a similar prayer. So during the hearing of that petition, the Supreme Court in fact made a very interesting suggestion. So the court suggested that, so we, as we all know, we follow this first past the post system. So the candidate who, you know, basically, even if technically the candidate is not in the majority, among the votes polled, whoever gets the most number of votes, even if it is 10% or 5% of the votes of the constituency, that candidate will be elected. That is the present system. So the Supreme Court basically questioned this rationale behind the first past the post system. And the court suggested that, or court rather, it's a deliberation rather, there is no order passed as such, whether there should be a minimum threshold that a candidate should secure so as to be declared as a winner. So the court has suggested the constitution of a committee of experts to study this aspect. So the court was basically asking, so if a person is only securing 5% of the votes, why should that person be elected as the winner? Because essentially that person is only enjoying the confidence of only 5% of the electorate. So as it is, we know, like, generally our election, the voting, the polling percentage is like around the 60% mark on an average. So at least on an average, we can say 40% of the constituency, they don't go for voting itself. And the election, the contest happens only within that pool of 60%. So if there is, I believe that if NOTA is given more teeth, more consequence, I believe that the voting percentage itself will increase. Because it is my perception that the people who choose not to vote, at least a very substantial chunk of that persons who don't go to the voting booth, they are persons who are generally dissatisfied with all candidates. So they don't want to take the trouble of going to the booth to register NOTA. So I believe that if NOTA is given more enforceability or more consequences, legal consequences, even the voting percentage will increase, and that will generally increase the representative quality of our elections as well. So these are the major points which I had to suggest. So rest we'll take it forward in the discussion.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mann. Actually, since you have raised this point, let me just take the question before we go to the next speaker. There is one comment in one of the viewers has sent that, if you remember the 2004 petition of PUCL and subsequently the directions of the Supreme Court in 2013, were actually based on the concept of secrecy. So, Mr. Manu, do you want to quickly comment on this, that this viewer, I'll tell you his name, is Mr. Deepak Dolakia, is saying that NOTA simply ensures that I have recorded my presence, that I have gone to the voting booth, and that is all. It is supposed to just ensure that, so nobody else votes in my name. That's it. You know, of course, this is his opinion. Do you have any reaction to this particular comment?
But if you see the Supreme Court judgment, the judgment itself has several paragraphs explaining why NOTA is necessary, the 2013 judgment.
Correct. Later on, of course, the Supreme Court said that it is also the citizen's right to express, to object.
And the Supreme Court
that 49-0, if you remember, maybe Dr. Lavasa, if you also want to comment on that, that it's simply supposed to be originally just my presence has been recorded, so nobody else can vote in my name, and that's it. The 49-0 provision, which used to be there in the paper ballots as well. Mr. Lavasa, any quick comment on that?
Ajit, that is what I was saying in my remarks, that, you know, even the petition that was filed to get NOTA introduced, I think they also did not pray that NOTA should become such a powerful tool. They also just wanted that by allowing people this right to exercise a negative choice, it will send a signal to the political parties and they will perhaps be compelled to take this into account. But as we see that, I think political parties have shown a very unique imperviousness to this kind of opinion, and they feel that, okay, even if 1% of the total electorate says that none of the above, there are these 99% people who are coming and voting for one person or the other. So I don't think they have given enough weightage. to this expression of popular opinion.
Okay. So, you know, I will come back to that. And Mr. Sebastian, of course, has said, and I think there is something to be discussed, that if you actually give more teeth to Nota, it will motivate more voters to come and exercise their vote. But we'll come back to this point. It's important. So we have got four or five different points that have come up. Let's go to the next speaker, Mr. Ghanashyam Tiwari, who is national spokesperson for the Samajwadi Party. He is also a founder of Good Ed, an educational platform, and a founder of PI India. He also co-founded the Harvard India Conference in 2010. And he has run state-level election campaigns. He has advised chief ministers and members of parliament. And has worked, actually, his work experience includes organizations like McKinsey, London School of Economics, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and Intel. He's an alumnus of the Kellogg School of Management, the IIM Bangalore, and NIT Karnataka. So he's an engineer by training. So welcome to you, Mr. Ghanashyam Tiwari. Over to you. Maybe about 10 or 12 minutes, please.
Thank you so much. It is a privilege and honor to be part of this August forum and speakers who have a lifetime of work and leadership in civil society and different aspects of civil society. Just a little bit of trivia. In 2004, the first time I ever worked with a not-for-profit, it was ADR. I volunteered with ADR, interacted with Professor Trilochan Shastri at that time. Had the pleasure to visit him at IIM Bangalore, my alma mater. Mm-hmm. Now, coming to the topic on hand, I think that if I summarize what has been discussed already, I don't want to beat around the bush and conclude that Nota has failed to accomplish a lot of what it was envisioned to accomplish. And we can brainstorm on how to make it powerful to accomplish what it should accomplish. But in reality, the backdrop of the democratic setup in which Nota was seen as an incremental power to the citizen has fundamentally changed. We are today in a backdrop where Election Commission, right, is failing the basic tenets of how democracy needs to operate. It's failing to stop hate speech. Definitely it is failing to stop criminalization in politics. If one just looks at the data points, it is failing to stop the amount of money that is getting used in politics. It is failing to stop coercive action that goes on. The way media has become the voice of the powerful, particularly the government, it is also failing to respond to questions from opposition parties. It is failing to respond on questions as basic as voter rolls, the legitimacy and the ability to prove that what is the voter roll that should represent a constituency. It is failing to respond to criticisms that somebody's name was dislodged from the voter roll. It is failing to the criticism that fake additions have been made to the voter roll. It is failing on the financial status. The quality of election commissioners itself is a testament of how the institution is failing itself. Transparency, accountability, the addition of dummy candidates by the same name as of popular candidate, or a similar symbol as a popular candidate. So what I'm trying to say is when Nota came as a instrument, we were incrementally going towards a democracy that will offer more rights to the citizen. The 10 years of UPA of Dr. Manmohan Singh was a golden era in terms of offering more rights to the citizen. And the 11 years in some way is a dark era with respect to citizen power. I fail to think one power that this government has offered to the citizen, and I can count many that it has taken away. So in this backdrop, I think it is good to discuss Nota, but when I came across this discussion, I also thought about two aspects. One is, yes, it has not worked as we intended, and there could be many things that it can do. For example, if I just put some basic points, Nota as a tool, as an instrument, has to be more actionable. Nota is by itself an option. It's a road without a milestone, a road to nowhere. It should have an outcome. Either rather than saying that no candidate is eligible, if it was probably called re-election should be held or something else, re-elect, right? That is a much more powerful message for somebody who wanted to vote Nota. Second is that it is carrying the failure of past impact, past loss of impact of NOTA in the past. So with every successful, every subsequent election, the impact of NOTA will further diminish. It can be misused as a manipulation lever by a system, as I noted, that has dysfunctioned EC itself. So it looks at every lever to ensure that somehow it edges past its candidate in the first past the post system, and somehow the verdicts become inexplicable. So I think there are multiple things to speak about. Also, one point, I respect Ashok Lavasa ji, but I just want to counter one particular point, that political parties have not been pursuant of electoral reforms. I think there are reforms that happen, important reforms that empower the citizen, and there are reforms that correct the society. The whole social justice movement is a movement of political reform. Political parties have spearheaded that movement. Today, as the inequality rises, the work that Anjali ji does and many other people do, the work to enable voice of the poor, who are becoming weaker by the day as money piles up, right, is a work that political parties take up. So I think there is a fair criticism to say that political parties have not focused on some specific reforms, but they have been part of electoral reforms that are not formally defined as electoral reforms. One thing that I see missing from this discussion, yes, one can have a wish list that, you know, there has to be more transparency in the way political parties elect candidates. When one looks at these sitcoms and various web series about how jury duty is there in the United States and how a jury is selected, right? You sometimes feel that there is more scrutiny in the jury duty than the scrutiny in how political parties elect members of parliament candidates, right? But I think in the times that we are living in, one particular source that I see with huge hope as a citizen, my father served Air Force. I grew up traveling across the country. And as a result, I have my political training is more of a citizen rather than a political person. I think that one huge force of change that is right here in front of us is artificial intelligence. I think in times when so many things are happening, eventually every powerful tool of technology, whether it is the smartphone or whether it is the era of artificial intelligence, has the ability to do both. It has the ability to make the powerful more powerful. It has the ability to make the weak, the voters, more powerful. And I think that when I look at all the reforms that we want to talk about, in the world of conversational AI, even a person who's not literate can potentially speak to a AI-powered call center to know everything about any candidate, right? And if I have to, let's say, if I choose to campaign only for NOTA, I will not campaign for NOTA at the time of election. I will campaign for NOTA in the run-up to election for 5 years. A NOTA, if it's a fictional candidate, can campaign for itself for the entire 5 years. Because it is basically saying that in this constituency, here are the kind of people you have voted for, and I'm here as your alternative if you don't want to vote for this kind of people. But the current format of NOTA is a tool without a campaign manager. In the era where, you know, politicians are able to hire very expensive campaign managers, right? The civil society, without upsetting any political party, can use basic tools of AI that are emerging to empower NOTA through a campaign. Even demand, raise capital. If it's a fictional candidate, you should be potentially campaign for that candidate, raise capital for that candidate, go to people with the utility of that candidate, right? And suddenly when people will see that, okay, Mr. X is standing, and against him, you know, this fictional candidate still has no criminal record, is not corrupt, is not visible, that's another thing. But let's give the message. So I think that if the term itself is given more teeth and given more campaign, the power, the criticism that I made, that it is unactionable, it is an uncampaigned candidate, it is manipulatable, it has in the past been unimpactful, right? All those criticisms can go away. One final point is, I also think that one has to think about NOTA for a very large election, such as a parliamentary election, versus NOTA for a smaller scale election. My training in public policy, my training in technology is that you create pilots rather than look at things that are immediately applicable at scale. I would want to see Nota successful at a panchayat level to build the temperament for this as a tool. When candidates who are not good for society become rejected at a panchayat level, at local election level, I will see that the temperament for Nota starts building up among people, and then they will use the same temperament to reject the MLA pool list of candidates and subsequently. So these are some of my submissions with respect to Nota and what we can do to make system better.
Thank you, Mr. Tiwari. Thank you very much. Great points. In a lighter vein, I was going to respond by saying, when you recounted the list of problems that we have had for elections or democracy in general in the last, whatever, 10, 15 years, that, you know, the percentage of members of parliament and members of legislative assemblies, MLAs, with criminal record has steadily gone up from 2004, 9, 14, 19 and 24, steadily, not in the other direction. That's really criminalization increasingly, the increasing use of money power, the increasing influence of media power. We call it the 3MMM, you know, money, muscle and media. So in that context, in a lighter vein, I wanted to say, wo kehte hai na ki, jab cancer hai, toh fir why are we worried about a haircut? So you are saying something ki bimari itni bekar to nota to ek bahut choti si baat hai. But anyway,
I'll just say one quick point. Sorry. Right? To highlight what you're saying, right? In the light of the women reservation bill, right? If you look at states across the country, there are more criminals contesting in an election than women contesting in an election, right? And that to serious people with similar serious criminal charges. So I think there are instruments that are coming in that can potentially turn the page. I'll add to this, if you just look at the power of women reservation bill and how it can affect some of these things, right? Of the 6,000 MPs and MLAs, today probably 600 are women. Whenever the law is enforced, of that 6,000, even at the current scale, 2,000 will be women. If for each such seat, there are 4 women contesting, you're talking about 8,000 women candidates in the next 10 years, hopefully. And if each such woman has 4 or 5 female members in their campaign team, you're talking about another 40,000 women campaigners. So you're talking about 50,000 new women entering the political arena who are unlikely to enter the pipelines of politics that men have entered, whether it is religion dominated by men, wealth dominated by men, land dominated by men, dynasty dominated by men. So I think these 50,000 women will bring a positive change, both from the criminalization standpoint.
I wanted to ask you a question, and actually it's also for Mr. Lavasa. You mentioned that there are constituencies where voters don't have a choice, that all the candidates have criminal record, or at least the leading candidates, leading parties, the leading candidates have, and I'm not talking about criminal record as in having a frivolous, you know, a minor charge, not Section 144 violation. It is serious charges like either rape or murder or attempt to murder, kidnapping, extortion. So surely, you know, the Nota, if it's not given teeth, I mean, what does the voter do in case you are facing a ballot where all major candidates are criminal record? So both Mr. Tiwari and Mr. Lavasa, isn't that a case where surely Nota needs to be given more teeth?
I will say a two-sentence response. Mr. Lavasa has much vast experience. But I'll just say two-sentence response. One is that, if I have to campaign for Nota, here are two things I will do. I try to see that there is a ADR-like institution that is active at each constituency level. And two, I will run a campaign for Nota for the entire 5 years of tenure, telling people that, look, if you find candidates of these bad qualities coming to the fore across party, here is your tool to resist it. Right, and make it a popular, even run dummy campaigns that here, come here, and here is candidate X who has this kind of qualities, and here is Nota, who are you going to vote for? The value of Nota is that you can run 24/7 campaigns. If I am a candidate, I will only run my campaign when I am given the ticket. Nota has permanence in terms of having a ticket.
Yeah, Mr. Lavasa?
I think what Mr. Tiwari has said has very interesting dimensions. And what I am understanding from that is that the introduction of Nota and making Nota efficacious should not be the concern of only the civil society organizations. It should not only be the concern of the petitioners who are knocking at the doors of the Supreme Court, but it should be taken out to the people and educate the people to make well-informed choices and reject the kind of candidates who are eminently unelectable in that sense. So I think that is a good point, and NOTA campaign should be sustained throughout. But that having said, I want to go back to my point. And although I do respect the viewpoint which Mr. Tiwari has mentioned, that political parties have also spearheaded political reforms, I didn't say that they have not spearheaded political reforms. I said that if you look at the record of political parties in the last 75 years, look at all their election manifestos, you will hardly find a political party which is giving primacy to electoral reforms as part of their agenda. And that is why most of the electoral reforms that have taken place in the country have either come through the courts, by the effort of the civil society organization, sometimes in collaboration with the election commission. But very few have come out of the political party's will. And the proof of that, incidentally, is that if the CIC has passed an order that political parties should be subject to RTI, there is not a single party that I know which has volunteered and said, yes, we are willing to obey this order. So how is this amazing sort of concerted move on the part of political parties not to subject themselves to this? So I think they need to also do a lot of introspection instead of putting all the burden on the people of the country.
Actually, Mr. Lavasa, that answer to your earlier question, that the CIC, by the way, they said that even though their order is legally valid and in force, but the RTI Act does not provide the commission with ample powers to deal with the cases of contempt and non-compliance. This is the order dated 16th March 2015. It's in paragraph 69 and 70 where they say clearly that we are helpless and therefore they are seeking directions from the court.
So it is not only NOTA which is toothless.
Anyway, but there's a question for you from Mr. Jilani which I'd like to put you on the spot here. But anyway, a very brief answer. We don't need to go too much because I also feel... So he's saying, Mr. Lavasa keeps talking about the fact that political parties are not doing enough for political reform or electoral reforms. He says, what about the election commission? Why is the election commission not pursuing electoral reform? I personally feel that this is a wrong expectation because the election commission is simply a implementing agency for free and fair. But anyway, I'll leave it to you, Mr. Lavasa. How do you respond to Mr. Jilani?
My response would be that there are two ways of looking at it. Election commission, if you ask the election commission, they'll give you ample instances with dates where they have proposed electoral reforms to the government. And they have been repeatedly pursuing those reforms. But that is the extent to which they can go. And that is what they have been done. Even today, I think, if you see, there must be a list of 40, 45 electoral reforms which are lying in the government for consideration, which Election Commission has periodically pushed. So it may not be totally fair to say that they have not taken the initiative to suggest electoral reforms. It might be fair to say that they have not pushed it enough. But I don't know what pushing enough means.
Let me give you an example, Mr. Lavasa. Like, for example, there was a suggestion many years ago that now that the criminal background of candidates is disclosed publicly via self-sworn affidavits, can the Election Commission not put up on the booth paste a piece of paper where they put a red dot against the name of the candidate who has criminal record? Because a lot of voting happens at the last moment, emotionally, people make up their minds. So if they see when they're entering the booth that there are people with red dots, surely the red dot initiative can be the Election Commission. They don't have to wait for anybody's guidance.
Yeah, I think you have to pose this question to the people in the Election Commission. But I would...
I know.
I would say that, you see, Election Commission does not want to be seen to be supporting one or the other. and therefore they feel that with that a candidate has offenses against, nudging the candidates and drawing extra attention, they might be criticized for taking sides. And therefore, the court has already ordered that the parties have to explain and affidavits have to be filed and disclosures have to be made. Advertisements have to be given 3 times in the public media. Of course, it has meant a lot of money for the media, people who run the media organizations. But yes, that is the extent of dissemination of information. To what extent?
But, you know, the model code of conduct was pushed by the election commission, sort of on their own initiative.
Yeah, model code is a voluntary sort of compact between the election commission and the political parties. And the model code cannot go beyond the law. So it does say that there should be disclosure of all the criminal antecedents. But whether election commission should draw the attention of the voters to a particular candidate's criminal record, I think that's a debatable point.
Okay, let me ask Mr. Tiwari. There's a question from Mr. Deepak Dulakia, who says that if you introduce nota in the panchayat level, there is a fear that dabang groups will use all the votes for themselves. So, nota is not, I think it's not applicable to local body elections. What is your view about generally extending nota and strengthening it even to local body elections?
We have 6.5 lakh villages, or probably more than that. Right. And I think that whenever you have such a scale, it gives you tremendous ability to experiment. You can do this as a pilot. But the substantive point that I'm trying to make is that nota is like an immunity system. You have to boost it at all times. And that boosting should happen in panchayat election. It should happen in at school level, in class monitor election, if there is one such thing. Right, that people know that, you know, there is a rejection mechanism to our democracy that creates immunity to the democracy. It is not the same as look at the two candidates. One candidate, powerful, lakhs and crores being spent in campaign, the prime minister campaigning, right? And the other option for the voter is nota, right? The candidate, it's like a candidate that has never campaigned for itself, right? It's almost it's unactionable for the voter. Right? That asymmetry is huge, and the asymmetry could be reversed because the candidate for which the prime minister will campaign, you will see that campaign once. The campaign for nota can be 5 years all the time. So I think you can potentially reverse the asymmetry, and you can experiment it only in cases. There are two possibilities that nota works in a certain constituency, or a dabang group captures the system and does not allow to work. Even in that, these are outlier examples that will be visible. Let us hope that in our society, from the local bureaucracy to the people, there are enough voices that these outliers will be called out, even if not defeated in that very election, right? And their records will be there to show. So I think it will.
Yeah.
I think that I'm a bit traumatized by this government that has diminished the rights of citizens. As a result, even if nota hasn't worked to the extent it should, I don't want it to go away. I want to be creative, inventive, collaborative, that it finds a stronger voice on the table.
In fact, I should mention that the domain of the state election commissions who run the local body elections, some states have really done some fantastic reforms. I should particularly like to mention Maharashtra and Haryana, and one or two other states who have actually pushed the envelope and have done some of these reforms, including, I think, the strengthening some nota features. Anjali, very quickly, you actually very important point. You mentioned it. That it's not just the end point of the 5 years where you exercise, you do go for elections, do voting and exercise nota or not. It's what happens between those two elections. So I think you kind of mentioned about accountability. So are you referring to this, there are these twin rights, right to reject, which is what nota is about, and right to recall, which is in the middle of the term of the legislator. Is that what you are referring to, the right to recall?
Well, Ajit, what I am really referring to is the fact that I think political parties seem to forget that in a democracy, they have to be accountable finally to the people of the country. And this doesn't just have to happen at the time of elections. You know, in between elections, it's not as if we cease to be a democracy. So one way by which this has to happen is that people have to be empowered to be able to question them. And here I want to also respond to some of the questions that Ashok ji had raised, Mr. Lavasa had raised. I completely agree that the Information Commission said that, you know, we don't have the power of contempt. So if somebody says that we are not going to comply with our decisions, there's only this much that we can do. I mean, we've consistently said that that institutions really need to push the envelope as well. If we look at the way commissions have been working across the country and the Central Information Commission, the powers that they have been given of summoning, of holding inquiries, of imposing penalties, granting compensation, have just not been adequately tapped. I think, you know, there is nothing stopping the Central Information Commission from writing to the Election Commission of India and bringing to their notice that after all, these political parties, you know, they're supposed to, it's a very important electoral reform also. It's of course a reform for political parties, but it's a very important electoral reform. It's something that could be written to the Election Commission about to say that they are not complying. I would even say that, you know, the Election Commission itself has, you know, such vast powers. Why do we not see the Election Commission stepping in and saying that, you know, there is a statutory body that has held that, you know, political parties need to be transparent. They must be held to account by the Election Commission. On the contrary, we saw how the Election Commission behaved in the whole electoral bonds matter, where first they said, no, there needs to be greater openness and transparency in political party funding. Therefore, electoral bonds they opposed, and then they quickly turned and sort of. So I think that we need to push our institutions much more, and the right to recall, the right to reject. I mean, you know, these, of course, continue to be also things that we demand in many cases, but those some ways are still further off than the rights, the hard-fought rights that we have already got. And therefore, I still feel that things like bringing parties under the ambit of the RTI law is very important.
Yeah, thank you, Anjali. We actually have been joined by Mr. Jagdeep Chokar, one of the co-founders of ADR. We also, I'm mindful of the time. We need to wind up in about next 7 or 8 minutes. So very briefly, Mr. Chokar, if you have any intervention to make.
I am sorry to intervene unexpectedly. I have not been able to watch the entire program because I was away for a doctor's appointment. But whatever little I've seen, there are two things I want to comment on. One, the nota is certainly applicable to local body elections. And two state election commissions of Maharashtra and Haryana have passed notifications which are much more effective than what the Election Commission of India has done. Maharashtra State Election Commission has said that if nota gets more votes than any of the candidates, that election will be cancelled and there will be a fresh election. The Haryana State Election Commission went a step forward and took it all the way by saying that if nota gets more votes than any of the candidates, the election will be cancelled, and in the fresh elections, none of the candidates in the earlier election would be allowed to contest. This has not been challenged by anybody. This has been put to effect by the Haryana State Election Commission. So, the Election Commission of India has no justification not to do this, number one. Number two, the Information Commission said that the RTI does not empower them for contempt. That is correct. But the RTI does empower them to levy fines on parties which do not listen to their instructions. And there are two sections in the RTI, which I don't remember right now. I think one of them is section 20. And this was brought to the notice of the Information Commission during the hearings. And it is mentioned in their order where, say, we don't have the wherewithal to get our order implemented. They don't even say they don't have the power of contempt, but they had the power to fine and to do one more thing, which they deliberately refused to do. So, like, the Central Information Commission did not do what it is authorized to do. In that way, the Information Commission failed in its duty, in my opinion. These are the only two things I wanted to say because I don't know the rest of the proceedings. Thank you, Ajit.
Thank you, Dr. Shokar. Mr. Sebastian, I want a quick response from you because you did mention the Surat case. Actually, that is also a bit troubling because the tendency or the trend of having unopposed candidates is, of course, happening even in the Lok Sabha election. But we have seen quite a lot of this at the local body elections. And if the citizens are not given a chance to express as a counter vote, then actually it's under the, against the spirit of citizens' right to select. So what is your opinion on that?
Right. So this is a very worrying trend. So there were certain reports indicating that the candidates withdrew because of coercion, etc. Ms. Bharadwaj also mentioned about this aspect. And this is quite rampantly happening within the local body election scene aspect. So, of course, this is very evident. I mean, if there is no one to contest, of course, there is no question of free and fair elections. So free and fair elections means a candidate should be in a position to freely contest the election as well. So that has to be ensured. And if there is no level playing field, the entire process is just meaningless. So there has to be proper, it has to be ensured by the election.
So in your opinion, that is one more reason why NOTA needs to be given to you.
Correct.
To be,
yeah.
Right. So there is very quickly. There is a petition in the Supreme Court filed by the Vidhi Center. It has been mentioned already. Okay. Sorry.
So I think one quick closing comment, Mr. Tiwari, since we are running out of time. I know there's a lot of issues, but what do you think are some tangible steps? Just very quickly, Mr. Tiwari.
Let me just unmute. Yeah. Mr. Tiwari. First of all, thanks once again. And I think empowering NOTA and intelligently looking at every lever that is out there in the backdrop of current system that is diminishing the rights and powers of citizens, civil society, media, and opposition. When you are not in power, definitely you are more of civil society and than you would otherwise be. That's the reality of politics. So I think looking at every intelligent system and powering it with technology, with rules, laws, and realizing that India is a diverse country, there are good things happening in some part of the country at all times. Just like Professor Chokar spoke about the local body elections and NOTA, that can be borrowed in other places. That is a continuous process. And hope that we are able to expand on it.
We have to remember that the State Election Commission have the same constitutional status as the Election Commission of India. So they're equally. So I want to ask one last question to Mr. Lavasa. I didn't want to ask you to a political spokesperson. And then we will conclude with due respect to all of you. I know we have lots of things, but we need to wind up. Mr. Lavasa, one thing that we didn't discuss so far is the opposition to NOTA. There's quite a significant section of society and political parties who feel NOTA is an unnecessary, destabilizing feature. It just creates more divisions, more instability, and really it serves no purpose. It is just a ploy to create more instability. Do you have any opinion or any view to express on this point?
Yeah, I think that opinion might be influenced by the fact that NOTA is not effective. And therefore, people might call it disruptive. But I think the moment you make NOTA effective, then it will cause disruption. So it is not disruptive today because it's like a very ineffectual angel beating its wings in the void. So, but the moment you make NOTA effective, then I think political parties will become serious about it. And therefore, I feel that there should be a relentless campaign to make NOTA effective. And I think there is a serious case for considering a threshold for the candidate who is declared as a winner. If he doesn't cross a threshold, and if NOTA gets more votes than him, then I think, or her, then we should go back and adopt some kind of a model which Haryana and Maharashtra have put forward.
Yeah.
And thirdly, I think political parties have to be a very, very meaningful player in this game. Otherwise, discussing all these reforms without the buy-in of the political parties is going to be a very, very, tough call.
Yeah. Okay, so we are at 5:30, so I'm afraid we'll have to wrap up the session. I won't try to summarize, but some very important points have come. Mr. Lavasa's point of a threshold for winning and a threshold which, if NOTA overtakes, to give it teeth. The fact that Mr. Tiwari said that there has to be a strong interest, working for NOTA, not just at election time, but throughout. Ms. Anjali Bharadwaj, she said about the right to reject, right to recall, and the right to information, the political parties to be brought under that. Mr. Sebastian brought out the important case of unopposed elections. Even there, NOTA has a role to play, very important role. And I think, especially constituencies, and there are many of them where all candidates have very serious criminal cases against them. NOTA, if given teeth, will prove to be effective, more effective than it is now. And not to forget that actually some state election commissions have walked down this path and have done serious reforms. So that can be emulated at the national level. So I thank all the panelists, Ms. Anjali, Mr. Tiwari, Mr. Lavasa, Mr. Manu Sebastian, Mr. Chokar, who came in at the last, so all of you, and thanks to all the viewers out there, and thanks to the people who've given their questions. Wonderful session, and we have to wrap it up here, and thank you all very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.